You take your Bibles and turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6.
I'm actually going to back up two verses into chapter 5, verse 30 to begin. I'm going to read about seven verses, beginning at Daniel chapter 5, verse 30. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, at 62. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this day for the opportunity to meet, for the opportunity to preach and teach your word. Lord, we're thankful for a great salvation that's been brought to us and a great book that's been placed in our hands to give us wisdom. And I ask, Lord, you know the hearts of every person in this room or that you'll hear my voice. And I ask that you would suit the blessing to the individual need of each person. I pray you'd help us as Christians to draw closer to you. And I pray if there's a lost soul, the sound of my voice, they'd call upon you and be saved. I ask your blessing upon the word. Give me a freedom and ease that only you can give. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome today. Glad you're here. I love the book of Daniel. I've taught it many times. And if you understand the book of Daniel and you understand the book of Revelation, then you've got a pretty good picture of the history of the whole world. Yeah. Daniel is very, very clear. And it's one of my favorite books. And also, Daniel is one of those characters that's just a righteous man. This man, in fact, in the Bible two or three times, it says it compares Noah, Job, and Daniel. There's three righteous men throughout the Old Testament, but they couldn't even stand for your sins. It took Jesus to do that. But Daniel's a great man, and the whole story is great, actually. And like I said, I'd love to just preach through it. But I picked chapter 6. Sort of the last of the historical part of Daniel's life. And it had a couple of things that I thought were very, very interesting. Now, we started in chapter 5 there about Belshazzar. I always love to preach on his knees knocking. I mean, when that hand came out on the wall and said, "Meaty, meaty, tickle you, Farson." I mean, his knees knocked and everything went out of him. Boy, he was showing off with a banquet for 1,000 people, man. That was his last day of life. He was slain. And a guy by the name of Darius, who was a Median, the Medes and the Persians combined, he took over the kingdom. 62-year-old king. And he put Daniel up, because, see, Daniel just prophesied to the previous king that he was numbered, found wanting, and it was the end for him. He said, "You can keep your gifts. Give them somebody else." I mean, this is an old man. Daniel's been there for the whole reign of Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he's an old man by this time. And he's been serving faithfully all these years. So when Darius comes in, he finds about this stuff. He takes Daniel and makes him one of the three presidents of the whole government. And in fact, he liked him so well. You know what it says about him? It said that he had a excellent spirit. Wouldn't it be nice if you had an excellent spirit?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Wouldn't your marriage go better if you had an excellent spirit?
Right. Amen.
You might not have as many complaints at work if you had an excellent spirit. The man Daniel, from the time we see him as a youth all the way into his old age, has an excellent spirit. This is a man that's steadfast. He's faithful to God and he's faithful to the work. Well, as it was, he was hated. Daniel just had that problem most of his life. You know, if you're too good, the world does not love you. If the world loves you, you might ought to examine yourself because you might not be as good as you think you are. The Bible says, woe be to you when all men speak well of you.
Amen.
You ought to cross hairs with some people. There ought to be some people that you stand against, and they will stand against you. Well, that's exactly what happened here. These guys did not like this old Jew, a eunuch, being the head of all this stuff and being held so highly in the king's mindset. So they wanted to find something wrong with him. And so they began to examine him every way they could. And they went after him in the government. They tried to get him in the jobs. They probably tried to bribe him. And they probably tried to push him and threaten him some ways. He didn't give any of it. Anytime you got money, you got bribes and you got corruption. I don't care if it's religious. I don't care if it's government, especially government. And how much of our money is just wasted up on corrupt people, corrupt individuals that get in and get a hold of these things. Well, they tried that stuff on Daniel. And they admitted, these guys that are trying to catch him, they admitted, we can't find anything wrong. He doesn't mess up. Wouldn't you like to be like that?
Amen. Amen.
I would sure like it when I didn't mess up.
Right. Amen.
Every once in a while, I just say the wrong thing.
Amen.
I don't listen enough. Now, I imagine that's one of your faults, too.
Amen.
I don't listen near well enough, and I talk too quickly. Well, not Daniel. I mean, he comes through spotless. You got 120 princes and presidents trying to find fault with you. You're doing your work every day. And he comes out on top. And one of them come up with an example, said, you know, he's very religious. This guy's faithful. We see him praying three times a day, every day. Doesn't matter what day it is. Doesn't matter if he's sick. Doesn't matter if whatever. Daniel is going to three times a day go consult his God. Praise his God. Pray to his God. Honor his God. He says, you know, the only way we're going to get Daniel is if we do it because of his religion. They were right. So they made a plan. We got this new king. We're going to go to him and tell him, let's make a new law. Oh, king, we'd like to praise you. Oh, king, live forever. I don't know why they always say that. Everybody knows they're going to die. Oh, king, Daniel even says it in the chapter. Oh, king, live forever. He's not going to live forever. He's going to live just a few short years, actually. But at any rate, they go to him and they say, oh, king, for your honor, let's make a law. You make a law, the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered. Now you notice when you're looking in Daniel, you're going to find a head of gold, and then you're going to have silver, and then you're going to go on down the line until you get to the end. And these are these different kingdoms. Darius is the beginning of the silver. See, the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar. Head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar. He could have said one thing one day and changed it all the next day and it wouldn't have been a problem. He was an absolute king, one of the greatest monarchs the world has ever seen. He had absolute power. Darius does not have absolute power. He made a law. If it's the law of the Medes and the Persians, you can't change it even if you're the king. So you see the step down in authority that you come right there. So Darius says, oh, that sounds good. Nobody can ask a petition. I wouldn't want that. I would hate to have to put up with all your questions. I would hate to try to please all of you. Pleasing five kids? Don't give them their choice. Just make the choice for them. You want to have to answer everybody's petition. Nobody can pray to a god. Nobody can pray to anybody else, or any other official, but you for 30 days. He said, oh, that sounds good. Oh, yeah. That's honorable. I don't know how many times he'd been a king before, maybe never. But at any rate, he goes along with it, and they pass the law. And by the way, the guys lied. They jealously lied. When they told the king, they said, all the presidents and all the princes have brought about this law. Wasn't true. Daniel wasn't part of it. So they passed the law. What does Daniel do? He prays to his God three times a day. He does it every day. With his windows open. Him facing Jerusalem. And he's praising God and thanking God and asking God, giving his petitions every day, no matter what the law said. And so these old boys, you know, they're watching and they get him and they go to the king and said, oh, king, didn't you make this law? Yes, I did. The law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed. They said, well, that Daniel. And the minute they said it, the king was sore displeased with himself, is the way the scriptures record it. He said, what an idiot I was. I didn't know they were going after him. And so he does his best to talk them out of it. He does his best to try to find a way around it. He does his best to find something that could keep Daniel from going into a lion den. Couldn't do it. He wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't have such absolute power. That law controlled even the king. So finally, they brought Daniel in. They took him down to the lion's den. And he told him, the king had a lot of faith in Daniel. He said, your God is able to preserve you from the lions. So they threw Daniel in. Another thing that shows you he wasn't such an absolute monarch, he sealed it, and then all the lords sealed it with him. So nobody could let old Daniel out. And oh, that king, old Darius, he had a bad night. He didn't sleep. He was fasting. He wasn't eating. He wasn't having any party time. He just spent one miserable night worried about Daniel because he evidently loved and respected the man. Early in the morning, he goes down and calls into the lion's den. Oh, Daniel, was your God that you served daily, was he able to deliver you from the lion? Yes. Amen. The Lord sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions. I've often thought of Daniel going over to the big male lion and laying in the mane. But he probably didn't do that. He said, I'm safe because my God delivered me. So they pulled him out. He's safe and sound. He hadn't been hurt at all. They dropped him down in there and all those lions down in there with him. He wasn't hurt at all. Daniel in the lion's den. And then the king, he had all those that accused Daniel, dropped them in the lion's den. And the angel didn't protect them. The Bible even says that the lions were leaping up and breaking their bones before they ever hit the ground. Not only the men, their wives, and their children. All of them cast into that lion's den and all of them were just destroyed because they went after one of God's men. Let me tell you what, it is a dangerous thing to mess with some people's children. And it's a dangerous thing to mess with God's children. Really is. Daniel is raised up, and he's back at the head of everything again. And the king made a decree. Look at verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Not many men like Daniel. Exceptional, even in the Bible. But I want you to notice, this is a decree of a heathen king. This is a king that didn't worry about what kind of gods his people served. He wasn't trying to push any religion. He wasn't trying to operate on a level, you know, of controlling everything. No. But you know what he did? He believed in Daniel's God. I want to say something else about Daniel before I move on. He was not a protester. He just did what he did every day. He just didn't change. He was not a protester. I had a group come years ago, and they came in as a group to the church, and they talked to me, and they said, "We're going to go down, and we're going to get arrested, and we want you to come down and deliver us. Bond us out." And I said, "Well, you know, I sort of keep the law. And if you're going to go down and get arrested, you're not going to get me to pay your bond." And they didn't come to the church. What a surprise. I'm not interested in protests. Maybe there's a lot of good done by them. I'm sure there is in some ways. There's a lot of harm done by them too. But I don't think my business is to protest all the governments. I'm not trying to build a perfect government in America. I'm not trying to have a perfect government on the earth. I believe the perfect government will come when Jesus Christ comes back as king. And it won't be until he's here. I don't care which party you belong to. I'm an independent myself. I vote more often Republican than I do any other way. But I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. And you know something? I don't trust this government. I don't trust this nation. I don't trust these people. I don't trust anything but God.
Amen.
Daniel was not a protester, so don't take him up as your example when you think about going to pray, opening the windows and praying, like this is the first time you ever opened your windows and prayed. No, he did what he was all the time doing. Now, he had an influence on this king, and you think about what I just read you. Notice what he says. "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel." That's a pretty good decree. Let me tell you what, I'd advise you to do that. I'd advise you, when you think about the God of Daniel, you think about the God that spoke the world into existence, you think about the God that holds everything about you in his hands. Your life, your death, your sickness, your health, it's all in his hands. I'd tremble. I do. I know God is my Father. I know God loves me. I know I'm his son. But you know something? I tremble when I think about the almighty power of God. I do. I think about what he could do to me tomorrow. What situation I could be in. What could happen to my kids. What could happen to my family. What could happen to the church. Tremble in fear to an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. You ought to tremble in fear. And instead of fighting him all the time and cussing him all the time and taking his name in vain all the time, you ought to be trembling at the name of God. You ought to fear to displease him. I had a very good, reasonable father. I never get over it. Thinking about how reasonable that man was with an idiot of a son that he had. But I didn't want to make him mad. I didn't want to suffer his displeasure. Because he could make it very uncomfortable for me, and did at different times in my life. Well, how about God? Oh, he's a whole lot wiser than my daddy. He's a whole lot stronger than my daddy. He's a whole lot bigger than my daddy. And when he spanked, it hurt a lot more. I've been spanked by God a time or two. Some of you have too. Tell you what, it's no fun. You ought to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Then he made another statement in there too. He said, for he is the living God. Thought about that? Just before, in chapter 5, they're worshiping the gods of gold and silver and stone and brass and iron and wood that speak not, that hear not, that do not.
Amen.
This is the living God. This is, you know, as I study science, and I love it, the more I learn about the universe or on my own life, they had a TV program on all the things you don't see. Did you know that most of the dust in your hair is dried skin off of you? I mean, not in your hair, in your home. Sorry about that. Most of the dust in your home is dried skin. Did you know that you have little animals living on you that eat that dried skin? Yeah. You ever thought about that? What if God decides to mess with one of them? Who knows what would happen to you? What I'm telling you is there's a whole lot you don't know.
Amen.
There's just a whole lot that God has done that God... People didn't know about all these television waves and air waves and stuff like that way back 100 years ago. Maybe a few scientists or a few people into it. But the average person never entered their mind. And the idea of a telegraph and a radio, wow, what an improvement. Well, look what you're doing now. How much do we not see yet? You think we're so smart we see it all? No. As I understand it, the human brain is the most complicated thing we've ever come across. And you got your brain doctors and your brain surgeons and whatever. They just know just a little bitty bit. We're talking about the living God. He planned it all. He laid out the diagrams. He said how the blood was going to flow. He said how the skin was going to work. He gave us a mouth. He gave us where we could read and understand. He gave us a Bible. Wow. The living God. He set us out and we keep producing more humans. The living God. You're dealing with the living God. You're not dealing with some statue somewhere. You're not even dealing with some despot, some absolute king in a little country. You're dealing with the living God. And this man recognized it. He is the living God, he said. And he said he's steadfast forever. How about that? A God so steadfast, so faithful, he doesn't have to change. The Bible says he changes not. And in fact, one of the same verses in the New Testament is it's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
I've changed a lot in just 76 years. Boy, I've started out gotten old. He's talking about me. But actually, when we walk holding hands, it's to try to keep each other from falling. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. That's the truth. You want to get on the winning side? You know, I've known a lot of people. They're not really for their home team. They want to be on the winning team. I know a lot of people. That bunch of dope heads that are called the Dallas Cowboys, I'm still for them because they're Dallas. I'm for the Houston guys, you know. I know there's a bunch of idiots on both the teams. I used to, when Landry was coaching the Cowboys, I really loved him. And when Staubach was a quarterback, well, I really loved him, you know. Those days are gone forever. But I'm still for my home team. Let me tell you what, you want to get on the winning side? Better get on God's side.
Amen. All right.
You know what this heathen king said? His dominion is going to last forever.
Amen.
Some of you don't know that.
Right.
Some of you have your doubts. Some of you are living like God. You're not in the kingdom that's going to last forever. Here's a heathen king. He meets and knows Daniel. He sees a miracle. He sees Daniel drop down into a den of lions, and the lions are pussycats. And then he sees, he throws these guys that did the thing wrong, that accused Daniel. He puts them in there, and they're ravening lions. And they break them to pieces, not only the men, but their wives and their children and everything they had. You know what he said? This guy's got a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. You know that's the truth?
Amen.
You want to get on the winning side? You better join Jesus. You better get on the winning side? You better repent of your sins.
Amen.
You want to get on the winning side? You better get on the side of the Bible. Better get off the side of the critics and the do-gooders and the ones that can do it always better. You can't do any better than go God's way. You young people that are starting your families out, you just keep going God's way. Every way you can, you go God's way.
Amen.
His kingdom shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall be even unto the end. I don't know that he had read Daniel's prophecies. I don't know that he'd ever had them explained to him. And yet, here this heathen king knows his dominion is to the end. Nothing going to supplant him. Nothing is going to come in and stop God's plan and progress. Here's a heathen king. He has more faith in God than most Christians. And that's a shame.
Amen.
That is a shame. Says he delivereth and rescueth. Well, he just had an example of that, didn't he? Man, I'm telling you, I've had a cow make me scared to death. I had one time I was trying to get, it was mean. This was a mean, nervous cow with those horns aiming out the front. And when I went into that pen to try to get her into a trailer, I had an aluminum baseball bat. She first went and hit my fence and took the gate nearly off. And then she came after me. I'm telling you the truth. All I could see was me skewered on one of those horns. But I took that aluminum baseball bat and gave her the best I could. Whack! She missed me by that much and ran right into the trailer. Thank you, Lord. You ought to fear a God that can control the lions. Because he didn't control the lions on the other ones that come around. He delivereth and rescueth. Look what else. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in the earth. He worked signs and wonders in the heaven and the earth. Here is a heathen king that's given a testimony to your God. That's beautiful. I think you ought to think like him. Reckon we could improve our walk if we just had a little faith? Reckon if we understood how powerful God is, we could walk a little more secure in our life today? I know there are a lot of things out here to fear. There are a lot of things that are going to bring an awful lot of trouble. That's true. But I wonder, at 76 years old, somebody was telling me, you just really look like you're alive again. Yeah, I am. I had a resurrection. They called me Kitty Cat when I was a young man. I guess I got my nine lives. I'm not sure. Let me tell you what. God has already protected you, or you wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
You don't know how many times God has protected you and stepped in, just like that angel went down into the den of lions and shut their mouths and made them pillows. That's what God's been doing to you for a long time. That's the reason why you made it to here. Every day you get up, you ought to think, this is another day. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. You don't have to be old to think about it as a gift from God. Young people die. My high school reunion I went to a couple of years ago, over half of my high school class is dead. They're already gone. How come I'm still here? the grace of God. An almighty God said, wake up one more time, Lindell.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's what he did for you. You don't know how many diseases you've passed. You don't know how many drunk drivers you've passed. You don't know how many car wrecks you've passed. You don't know how many things that have come your way. And God just diverted them or diverted you. You ought to trust a God like that. I think that is an amazing testimony of a heathen king. I really do. Look, if you will, over to 2 Peter. No, 1 Peter chapter 4. I apologize. 1 Peter chapter 4. I've got four verses I'd like to read to you. Verse 7. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Did you know the end of all things is at hand? If it was when Peter wrote this 1900 and some odd years ago, it's a whole lot closer now. The end of all things is at hand. I look around at the world and, you know, we got all these prognosticators and all these prophets of our day who prophesy how it can't last, it's going to blow up or whatever. Going to burn out. The end of all things is at hand. And when I read the book of Daniel and I read the book of Revelation, you know what I think? The book of the end of all things is at hand. What ought we to be doing? What ought to be our lifestyle? He said, be sober and watch unto prayer. You've been skipping your prayer time lately? You've been too busy to pray lately? You've been too busy to read your Bible, too busy to pray. We can all get there. I don't care if you're an old man sitting at home. You can just forget that you ought to be doing certain things with your God.
Amen.
You ought to be praying about the condition of the church. You ought to be praying about the condition of some of the families in your church. Amen. You ought to be praying about your own health and your own welfare and your own wisdom and your own being able to help somebody else. We ought to be praying three times a day.
Amen, amen, amen.
He says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Brethren, we're too critical. We're too bossy, we're too critical. We're too self-satisfied. We look down our nose at too many people.
Amen.
We make judgments that we shouldn't make, that we don't know what we're talking about. He said, we need fervent charity. Fervent, that's burning. That's fiery, that's burning. Fervent charity among yourselves. Well, I don't like this one in the church. And I don't like that one. I don't want to sit by this one. I sure wish he wouldn't talk to me. I wish he wouldn't.
All right.
Fervent,
amen.
Fervent charity?
Right. Amen.
Hey, we need to love one another.
Amen.
Family is more important than things.
Amen.
Family is more important than things. Get that in your head. It doesn't matter who gets grandma's drawers. Really doesn't. Don't fight anybody over something in the old folks' house when they die.
Amen.
Who cares? Get your attitude right. It's not that important. Family is more important than things. Church is family.
Amen.
Family is more important than your opinion.
Amen.
Family is more important than your prejudice. Family is more important than almost anything else. And we ought to love one another fervently. Now, I'm not talking about being gushy and kissing everybody that comes in and falling all over everybody comes in, you know, that gets a little bad. It can sure be feigned and hypocritical. But we ought to love one another. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to spend a little time thinking about somebody else. Somebody else's problem besides your own.
Amen.
Too many of us are spoiled little babies just crying about our own problem.
All right, amen.
We need fervent charity. We need to love one another. We need to love the lost that are out in the world that need to be saved. We need to love the families of the people that come. Bless your heart. We need fervent charity. And that's what he says right here. End times coming. You need charity. And it says, verse 9, use hospitality. Are you hospitable? You say, well, it's just not my personality. I'll get off my back. Be hospitable. Be friendly. Be polite. Be welcoming.
Amen.
There shouldn't be anybody come into this church and walk out the door without somebody shaking their hand and saying, glad you were here.
Right.
Use hospitality one with another. As every man hath received the gift, so minister the same one to another. You got a gift? You got a talent? You got an ability? Use it. Use it in the church. Use it among the people of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't believe you're as good as Daniel. I don't believe anybody in this room is as good as Daniel. But it wouldn't matter if you were. You still need Jesus. You still need Jesus. Christian friend, you still need Him.
Amen.
I know He's in your heart. And I know the distractions that hit you every day of your life. They hit me too. They hit people I've talked to over all these years. You need to repent. You need to repent often.
Amen.
You need to do it well. You need to do it sincerely. You need to repent. You need to ask the Lord to restore the joy of your salvation. You need to ask the Lord to use you somehow in whatever days you have left to be a testimony for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the greatest Savior the world has ever heard about. And if you're here and lost today, let me tell you something. You need Jesus. I know it may hit your pride a little bit that He's not going to accept you as you are. But He's not. Because as you are, you're very imperfect. As you are, you would be an abomination in heaven.
Amen.
You need the blood of Jesus. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, even if you're as good as Daniel, and I don't believe you are, you need Jesus. You can repent today.
Amen.
Hey, I don't even know what the day is, 17th, I guess. You could say the 17th of February is my new birthday. You could take Christ as your Savior today. And you know what I've heard? I've heard if you'll call upon Him, He'll listen to you. I've heard if you'll really repent of your sins and seek Him, He'll have mercy. He's a God full of mercy. And that is the multitude of His mercies. He'll not only forgive your sins, He'll cleanse you completely.
You,
He'll make you His.
Thank
He'll
you,
reserve
Lord.
A place for you in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. What a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing number 234. 234. Let me say to you as you stand and get ready, this altar is open. Christian, if God has spoken to your heart, you make a move. Step out of that aisle, humble yourself, come down here, get on your knees, and tell it to God, because God touched your heart. If you're here and lost, you don't know Jesus yet, you know a conviction upon your heart today says, I need to do this, this is what I need to do, come on down here and grab my hand and say, I need to get saved. We'll have somebody pray with you. Let's sing 234.